You're listening to the Westchester Podcast, an official podcast of the New York City Church of Christ.
Promise. But actually, that is the thing the Jews thought most of when they thought of Christmas. Now, you might point out Christmas is not a biblical word. It isn't. It's a word we made up. It's not in the Bible anywhere. The word Christmas isn't found in the Bible. We don't even know exactly when Jesus was born. But if you take the vernacular of Christmas and just use it to say this is when Jesus was born, and you look at the Bible and what the Bible says about Christmas, what you come up with is a promise. So we're going to look at that promise today. If you turn over to Isaiah chapter 9, promises are good, especially if they're good promises. 2,000 years ago, Israel was in trouble. Similar to today, they had issues. Rome had an illegal occupation going on of the entire country. They weren't in charge. Pagans were. Rampant slavery, rampant racism, abuse, corruption. Sounds a little like today. They needed hope. So do we. So they looked to Christmas. They looked to that promise of Jesus' birth. They looked to what the prophets foretold about the good news that something much better was coming than their situation in life. That though they had all these rampant social abuses going on and political corruption and chaos, that there was something coming that would heal them, something that would truly help them to the deepest possible ways. And of course, that's where we're at. We're looking for security. We're looking for joy. We're looking for peace. And the older you get, the more you look for peace. When you're a kid, you're just looking for the joy. The older you get, you want a little joy, but then you really want some good peace. Can the world deliver these things? Can the world deliver security and peace and joy and comfort and a lack of corruption and a lack of social abuse? Can the world deliver these? How's it working for us? Well, it isn't. So we need hope. We need a promise. We need to search and find something we can hold on to that gives us some hope and some joy. And that's what Isaiah 9 is all about. It's the promise of something greater, the promise of joy and hope and future. And as it turns out, a life that will turn the world upside down. Let's read through this together. And our message is basically going to be just reading through Isaiah 9, verses 1 through 7. And looking at how it applies to us as it applied to them. Starts off saying, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. Can we relate already? Gloom, distress. These are common feelings and emotions today. For almost 300 years when this was written, 740 years before Christ, when this was written, Israel had gone through about 300 years of major distress. King David, the reign of David, and Solomon was powerful. But after Solomon died, his son was, well, he was a wreck. And really wrecked the kingdom. The kingdom became divided and armies came in and left and came in and left. And Israel was conquered, then they had freedom, then they were conquered, then they had freedom, and they had a lot of corruption going on. Massive amounts of idolatry. God wasn't with them. God was just letting them do their thing. And that's how God is, really. I mean, God just lets us do whatever we want to do. That's the beautiful thing about God. He never forces us to do anything. He says, do whatever you want to do. And then He stands back and goes, so how's that working for you? Israel was in trouble again, but here's the promise. There'll be no more gloom for those who are in distress. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. That's the hope. Quite often we feel like we're walking in darkness. When life gets tough, and life is brutal. This is not heaven. The United States isn't heaven. It's tough. Now, places on earth are far tougher than here, right? I lived in Africa for 3 years. Boy, that's a wake-up call. And to see the joy of kids walking in mud streets with no shoes on and nothing to play with but an empty tin can. Wow. I thought, I complain too much. And we do as Americans, don't we? We complain too much. But let's go back to this. Let's go back to the heart. A lot of us are walking in the darkness. But this says we've seen a great light. The promise is there's a great light. To those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. There's hope. He goes on to say, you have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. The promise is about joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at a harvest. In other words, when this event that he's yet to mention is coming, when it does come, it's going to be so awesome that people are going to be rejoicing as if it's harvest time. I guess that isn't really a good comparison to us here today, is it? Harvest? I mean, I do know what harvest is like because I grew up on a ranch in Montana, but anybody else, can you relate to harvest, what a harvest is like? No one. Okay. It's kind of lost for New York. Okay. This is the deal. Let me just quickly explain. If it rained, you would eat. If it didn't rain, you would starve. So if there was a harvest, it meant it rained and you had grain, and guess what? You were going to survive that next year. So people rejoice at a harvest. It's like, there's hope! It's kind of lost on us a little bit. But the prophet is basically saying here that this is going to be an amazing thing. As men rejoice when dividing the plunder, as in the days of Midian's defeat, that was back in Gideon's day. Remember, Gideon the judge, Israel had an occupation going on again, and their enemy Midian was not allowing the Israelites to even tread out grain. They stole all their cattle, all their goods, their houses, their food, everything was stolen. But Gideon and God paired up, and God provided a great defeat back then. It says, for in the days of Gideon's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. God is basically saying in here, life is oppressive. Life is burdening without the hope. But here's an end to all that slavery, all that oppression. There's a hope. Every warrior's boot used in battle, every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. He's saying that not only will God increase your joy and you'll be rejoicing like at a harvest or dividing plunder, not only will God take away this yoke that burdens you, not only all of that, but also there'll be peace. Total peace. No more war, no more hatred. Of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. So this promise that Isaiah is delivering will be an eternal promise. It'll go on forever and ever and ever. No end. When will all this happen? Verse 6. Verse 6 says that word for to us. And those little words are important. It means that for means that this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to be the cause of all these promises above. It says, for to us a child is born. Now that's pretty insignificant, isn't it? A child being born? For all those incredible promises to be delivered upon through a birth? I mean, there's nothing rather astonishing about a birth. There's really nothing even astonishing about a baby 2,000 years ago being born in a stable. There were many poor people. There's really not that much astonishing about a baby being born in a stable and then laid in a manger. That was actually better than the open country. So there's nothing remarkable about that. What's remarkable is about what he says about this baby. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. In other words, this baby is going to bear the burden of governing everything. He's going to have the authority to govern. How do you know when a baby is born what's going to happen to that baby? How do we know what's going to happen to our children when they're little? And yet the prophet's saying, I know exactly what's going to happen to that baby. That baby is going to take on the government. And then he goes on to say, and this child will be called, he will be called Wonderful. This child will be an awesome child. That he's going to do amazing things. He's not just going to be called Wonderful, he's also going to be called Counselor. What did Jesus promise? He said there would be a Counselor who would be with us. Remember who that was? The Holy Spirit. So Jesus is going to be called Wonderful and Counselor, saying that the Holy Spirit is going to be in him. Then the next one is amazing. He's going to be called what? Mighty God. This baby is going to be called God. Not just God, but Mighty God. There's only one God. And this baby is going to be the Mighty God. That's amazing of a prediction. That you would think that Israel would be looking for this huge 6'4", massive guy with armor coming through the blasts of fire in the background, the fog, and he comes through the fog with armor on and says, I am your leader. And Isaiah's saying, it's not going to be that way. It's actually going to be a baby. A baby's going to lead us? Yeah, and that baby's going to be called God. Not just God, but Mighty God. Not only that, but he's going to be called Everlasting Father, equal to the Creator. So this child, this is the prediction, the baby would be God. God incarnate, that God would come down from heaven to become an innocent, frail, fragile child. For all these promises that we'd have joy, that we'd have hope, that the wars would disappear. It would all come through a child. Because the child wouldn't be a prophet. The child would literally be God. God coming down to us. God incarnate. Emmanuel. Not only would he be called Wonderful and Counselor and Mighty God and Everlasting Father, but he'd also be called the Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. And that's what we're really looking for. Is great peace. It all is delivered through a baby. Verse 7, of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne over David's kingdom. That was the golden era of Israel when David and Solomon had a massive amount of land and there was peace. It says establishing and withholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is what that baby is. Baby Jesus. Insignificant birth in a stable, laid in a manger by probably a teenage mother, a virgin birth by a common carpenter, Joseph, as a father, became our mighty God. A Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. We are all searching for what this baby has. All of us today are searching for peace and joy and security. We don't want the hatred. We don't want the wars. We don't want the conflicts. We don't want the corruption of the world. And the baby delivers everything. We diligently hope to find what we want in the world. But can the world deliver? How's it worked for us so far? It hasn't. There's only one that can deliver, and that's Jesus. the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And it all came through insignificant circumstances. I want to read a poem by Dr. James Allen Francis. It was written in the 20s and called One Solitary Life. And you probably have heard this poem before, but it so beautifully illustrates how Christmas can pass us by in one way, that we can celebrate through the presents and the food and taking a break and miss the significance of the baby that grew up. So I want to read this poem, and we'll basically end with this. He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another obscure village, where he worked in a carpenter shop, until he was 30, when public opinion turned against him. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never went to college. He never visited a big city. He never traveled more than 200 miles from the place where he was born. He did none of the things usually associated with greatness. He had no credentials but himself. He was only 33. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While dying, his executioners gambled for his clothing, the only property he had on earth. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 19 centuries have come and gone, and today Jesus is the central figure of the human race and the leader of mankind's progress. All the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that have ever sailed, all the parliaments that have ever sat, all the kings that have ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of mankind on earth as powerfully as that one solitary life. Jesus has literally turned the world upside down. So then why the wars? Why do we still have the insecurities? Why the corruption? Why the racism? Why all the abuse? Here's the kicker. It's all choice. It's all choice. God has chosen to not force goodness on anyone. God has chosen to not force His authority on anyone. The beauty of King Jesus, the beauty of God Almighty, is He doesn't make you do anything. It's all our choice. We can say no. We can easily say no. We can say no to all the promises. I'm glad I didn't say no. I'm glad I don't say no. There are days that I struggle and I want to say no. But bottom line is, for me, when I just let Jesus rule my life, when I let Him call the shots, I experience joy and peace and security and goodness. And when I call the shots, fear, insecurity, negativity, cynicism, it's our shot. It's our choice. Jesus was born to give us an incredible promise of a life far greater than any life we could ever experience here. The greatest, the most powerful people on earth, the greatest of the lives on earth, cannot even compare to the life that Jesus has for us in Him, in His authority. But it's up to us. We have to make that call. We have to choose that life. We have to say, I want Jesus ruling over me. I want Him to be my King of Kings, my Mighty God, my Wonderful Counselor. I want that for my life. That's the Christmas promise. We don't have to live a life without hope and a life where everything turns negative. We can have a life of incredible hope and joy, as if all the wars are gone. Yes, we will have trouble in this life, but this world is not our home. We're just passing through if we're in Jesus. That we get to have a life of joy and hope and aspiration, a future, hope, and be able to help other people on this path as well. This is the Christmas promise, that the baby grew up and became King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that we worship that baby, not just every Sunday, but we worship Jesus as the Creator of the universe, as God Almighty. We pray to God Almighty through Jesus Christ every day we live, every moment we exist. Our prayer is that God may live through us fully, that we would hinder Him in no way, that life would fully be expressed through us, through Jesus. At this time, we're going to be doing a communion. Communion is, we take some bread that represents Jesus' body broken on the cross. We drink some fruit of the vine that represents Jesus' blood shed on the cross. We do it to remember, because this is the most powerful life that has ever lived. This is our lifeline to God. It is our hope, our aspiration, our dream. Jesus is our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, our wonderful, mighty Counselor. Let's pray. God, we're so grateful for You. Father, we're so amazed that in this life of trouble and darkness and hardship and toil, that we have hope. Father, we're amazed that You have rescued us out of billions of people in the world to participate in this divine nature in Jesus. That we can escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires and be in Jesus, in hope and in joy. Thank You, Father, for giving us this life. We pray that we can go through this life not focused on the negative, but focused on our eternal hope in You. So as we take this bread, that we can remember the sacrifice made on the cross for us, that even if we were the only one that Jesus could have saved, He still would have died just for us. That when we take this fruit of the vine, we'll remember the blood that Jesus shed on the cross, that He gladly gave up His life so that we could have true life. Thank You for this season of joy. Thank You for this Christmas time. But Father, I pray that we will always remember the greatest thing of Christmas. And that is the promise of Your Son, that He was born, He lived, He died, and He was resurrected on the third day. That we have hope eternal through His resurrection. That we can live with You forever in heaven, in peace, in joy, and in security. Thank You for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.